Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday morning, September the 16th, 2022. 9/16/22, 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour, and we've got a big morning here on WWGH Talk. Coming up next hour, we have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. Then we have a continuation of my show this morning, starting at 10:15 a.m., which will run through 1 o'clock this afternoon. So a whole lot of stuff going on here on WGH Talk this morning. Now, there are a few things I wanted to talk about right off the bat here in hour number one. The first thing is an update. I've been talking about this all week, and I really never had a confirmation until yesterday. I actually ran into a member of City Council yesterday, and I had this person confirm what I had seen Monday night at City Council. I had said that at City Council on Monday night, they were debating in the city of Marion the idea that we would be able to set off fireworks on certain holidays without any permission. Now, this is something that happened in the state of Ohio thanks to the governor, DeWine. A lot of people like it, a lot of people don't like it, but ultimately, cities have the power to overrule the state in this particular situation. And Monday night, I had said I had been at the council meeting, and there was debate over this, and it was the third reading, and the third reading is when the vote is taken. And it was a little confusing because there were people on council who had things to say about this, as well as a resident, and I don't know who he was or where he was from, but he got up and spoke as a citizen from Marion who did not like the idea that people were letting fireworks off. And council took a vote on Monday, and the vote was to either go with the state and allow people to light off the fireworks on these certain holidays, or not go with the state and go back to the old Marion rules, which basically says that you need a license to do this. And the vote was taken, but it was kind of confusing because it was a yes-no vote. But even city council members were, some city council members, I should say, were confused on what the yes-no meant. Because just as they were about to take the vote, I believe it was two or three city council members asked for clarification for what they were voting on. Was it to get rid of the fireworks in Marion and just allow them to be set off by professionals like it always has been? Or was it to adopt what the state is doing now? So they took the vote, and all week I've been saying, I think that fireworks were outlawed in Marion unless you had a license, I guess, to light them off. But I wasn't really sure because of all the confusion that went down before that vote happened. Well, yesterday I ran into the city council member just by accident, and I said, can you confirm what happened Monday? Were the fireworks outlawed or were they not outlawed? And the city council member confirmed to me that yes, they were outlawed. So, and I don't know how many people know this because I don't think there has been a story in the Marion Star yet. And aside from us talking about it, I don't know that this has been talked about at all. So, if you want to know, fireworks are now basically back to the same rules that they were before the governor made his, signed his proclamation or whatever it was. So basically in Marion, what stands in the state no longer stands. We are now reverting back to the old way of doing things that I'm pretty sure the rules are you have to be a licensed technician to light these things off, and it doesn't really matter the date. So that's the rule in Marion, again, as voted on by City Council. Now, what I don't know in this particular situation, I'm guessing since City Council voted on that, it doesn't apply to the county. It probably only applies to the city. So if you're outside the city limits, unless the county commissioners vote on something, which I don't think they have, I would imagine that you would still be allowed to follow with what the state is doing. But I would call the county commissioner's office before you do that to see what guidance they could give you on that. But I am for sure now, after talking to the city council member, that as of Monday night, setting off fireworks, if you are not a licensed technician, is now again banned in Marion City, no matter what the date. So, there you go. Now, does anybody have any thoughts on this? I am in the studio this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Now, I know when this law was... I remember when it was proposed, there was a lot of talk about it. Then when Governor DeWine signed it into law, there was a lot of talk about it. Then when people first had the chance to do it on these certain dates, light off the fireworks, there was a lot of talk about it. And now that it has been banned again in the city of Marion per city council, what do you think? Is it a good idea now that basically fireworks have been banned in Marion again? Marion City, that would be. Give me a buzz here if you have any thoughts on that. 740-383-9944. Does it make you happy? Does it make you angry? Because there are really two sides to this whole thing. There's the side of people who obviously were lighting them off the last 6 months or so on those dates and having fun doing so, who now will not be able to do that because of the change in rules in the city. And then there's the group of people who never wanted it, because they felt in their neighborhoods, people were just lighting off fireworks kind of willy-nilly and keeping them up all night. So what do you think? 740-383-9944. And again, I'm only going to mention this once this morning just to keep the program going, but I wonder if our friend Scott out in Big Island is able to listen. I know he had a big opinion on this at one point, but I'm not sure if this is one of the mornings that he's able to listen on his tablet. I remember him saying his wife had to be home so he could do that, because I believe her internet carried the internet connection that allowed for that. And if she worked that morning, then he could not get on. So if he's out there listening, we'd love to hear from him. Not that he's a resident of the city of Marion, but he certainly had a lot of opinions and knowledge of what went on in the city of Marion. Judy Summers, we still have not heard from, and I'm getting a little worried about Judy Summers, because Judy, when was it? About 2 weeks ago, as I have said, I ran into Judy, and she had said she had not been feeling very well. I think it was just a cold at that time. But she had not been feeling well, and that's why she had not got her Alexas or Fire Sticks together. But she was feeling a little better at that time, and she was going to work on it. And that is the last that I heard from her. Now, why this is nerve-wracking to me is we even tried to call her yesterday while we were on the air, and basically it just rang, went to voicemail, and said the voicemail was full. So I don't know anything about Judy Summers. I hope she's out there listening. I hope she's feeling okay, and I hope everything's going well with her. And if anybody knows her, have her give us a buzz. And then the other thing that we have been talking about is our longtime listener, Lee. And this has been going on for almost 2 weeks now. I got a call last week from Ted Jolliffe at home, and Ted was looking for Lee's phone number, because apparently Lee had called Ted asking for something, but he did not leave his phone number. And Ted did not have Lee's phone number. So Ted was asking me if I had his phone number, and I did not have his phone number. So I put it out there on the airwave that if anybody has Lee's phone number, could they give him a call and tell him to call Ted Jolliffe? Well, somebody did call in, I remember, And they said, yes, we'll relay the message. But I don't know if the message ever got relayed. I don't know if Lee ever called Ted and everything was made hunky-dory in that particular situation. So if anybody can give us an update on that, give us a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call here. We'd love to hear from you. If you know anything in any of those particular situations, or you want to comment on the fireworks situation, which one of the problems with this is going to be letting people know that the laws have changed, because the television did a great job of letting people know that the law had changed when the governor signed the proclamation. But it's much harder on a local level to let people know that the law has changed again just for the residents of Marion City, because most people don't get the newspaper. And even if they do read the articles online, they don't read them thoroughly. So how do you let all the people in Marion know that the laws have changed again and you can't let the fireworks off? I think what will probably happen is on these dates that people are allowed to let off fireworks, a lot of cops will probably be out on those days and just have to go tell people, hey, listen, in Marion, the laws have changed, and that's kind of the way it goes. But any thoughts on any of these things we've talked about so far, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we'd love to talk to you. Now, a couple other things here. Of course, this week we've been talking a lot about the Harding dog collar situation, because the Marion Star ran an article on, would have been Wednesday, front page of the newspaper, that the reward for the return of Laddie Boy's collar has now been bumped up to $5,000, thanks to an anonymous person, resident, here in Marion. And it was interesting because I came in this morning, and this had never happened before. I came in this morning, and there was a message on the answering machine. So I played the message, and it was a person asking if I would call them. So I did. And come to find out, the person said they had seen the article in the newspaper. Now, they did not have the dog collar, but here's another interesting story. Apparently, somehow, this person's mother, who probably would have been rather elderly at the time, because this person was not a younger person now, but somehow, his mother had come in contact with one of Florence Harding's brooches. You know, the things you wear, I guess, on your blouses or your coats? That this person's mother had come in contact with a brooch of Florence Harding. And apparently, about 8 years ago, the brooch was stolen, along with some other items, from his home, I think. Now, he's looking for that brooch, and maybe thinks that it might turn up along with other items like the dog collar. So now we have his phone number, and if we get any leads on the dog collar, I guess we'll see if the brooch turns up. But what this did was, you know, the first time this story came about finding the dog collar, I don't remember getting any phone calls in regard to just the dog collar. Well, even though this wasn't a call about somebody saying they had the dog collar, it certainly was a call in reference to the dog collar. So who knows? Maybe this $5,000 will drum up a lot of interest in this dog collar. And the further the story travels, the longer it travels. It's only been out there a couple days at this point. Maybe it will do some good in bringing back this dog collar to the Harding home. Or the Harding Museum, wherever they would put it. So that's good news. So I wanted to give you that information this morning. And again, if you have any thoughts on that, phone lines are open 31 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any thoughts on that? You can give me a buzz. Now, the last topic this morning is something I've really been waiting to talk about, because I had not been over on that side of town, and I was not sure if it was a true story or not. But I'm looking at the Marion Star online this morning, and it is the big story on the Marion Star online this morning. So I know it is a true story. And I can hardly believe that this has happened. And I don't like... I'm not even sure that this will necessarily be a criticism, but here's what it is. The online story on the MarionStar.com this morning reads, State Street Bridge in Marion now set up to handle two-way traffic. Now, first of all, I've never heard it called a bridge, but it's the overpass. The State Street overpass in Marion is now set up to handle two-way traffic. Now, it's my understanding that this is being done because the Prospect Street overpass is being worked on, I guess is what's being done. So they decided to make the State Street overpass two-way. Now, here's the problem. The State Street overpass has been one way for so long. Making it two-way, I would think, would make that area very dangerous. I don't know how after many, many years of a street going one way, that you would make it into a two-way street. And apparently this was done prior to this article, so how people were supposed to know this, I don't know. I don't know if there's a lot of signage down there or anything of that nature. I don't know. But I would just think that's going to be very difficult. And I don't know, is the entire street now two-way, or is it just the overpass? Because, again, that would be very confusing. I would just think that would be set up for a lot of accidents to happen. Because if you are somebody who lives in Marion, especially the Marion residents, you know that the State Street overpass is one way and has been one way for many, many years. So if you're going up the overpass, you would probably enter in either lane. But now, for the time being, one lane is actually two-way, going in the opposite direction. Usually, it has been one way just going to the north. Well, now, there's one lane going to the north and one lane going to the south. What are people's thoughts on this? Is this a good idea? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, and I was trying to figure out who came up with that idea. Because of all the ideas I've heard, because we've had a lot of road construction around here, and I certainly understand the Prospect Street overpass being worked on is causing a problem for people, but I would just think that there would have been a better way. I understand people don't want to wait on trains, but Main Street is two-way, and Main Street is right in between State and Prospect. So, even though there are train tracks on Main Street, wouldn't that have been a better way to detour the traffic to get to where they need to go while the Prospect Street overpass is being worked on? I just think changing a one-way street into a two-way street, or at least the overpass, even for a short period of time, is very confusing to people, especially elderly drivers, who've been driving one way on that thing for I don't know how long. All right, does anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. What do you think about the State Street overpass being made two-way temporarily? I think it's just a temporary thing until the Prospect Street overpass is fixed with renovation. Now, see, that's another problem in this whole thing, is that when it's done being renovated, when the State Street Bridge is done, or when the Prospect Street Bridge is done being renovated, and they put State Street back to one way, now all the people who have been driving on it now that it's two-way, are they going to get confused and think, well, it's two-way now, I can drive on it both ways? Well, then you can't at one point. I just think there was a better way to route that traffic, because Main Street is right there, and Center and Church and Fairground all run into Main Street, and Main Street's two-way, and that would not have made things as confusing, I think, as this State Street thing will. So anyway, 37 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. To me, that just seems like a mammoth change in the layout of things here in Marion. That maybe could cause some hazards for people. Now, I could be wrong, and actually in this particular situation, I hope I am wrong, and it doesn't cause any problems, but the way it's set up, it just seems problematic. Now, I have not driven over on State Street since this happened, but is there anybody out there who has driven on State Street since this change has taken place? And what do you think of this particular change? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on this. Well, if you were listening to the program yesterday, it was an interesting program right at the end, and I'm only going to talk about this for a moment as well, but I want to recap in case you did not get a chance to hear it. Yesterday, this whole thing started about 2 weeks ago as well. Apparently, most of the things around here started about 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, I had Abby call in, who, you know, has called in a whole bunch of times. She's been a guest on the program. We've always had a good time. And she called in to talk about a bungee exercise class that she had been involved in. And she called in and we had some fun. And typical phone conversation between her and I. And it was done. And that night, one of our listeners thought that I had been rude to Abby when she had called in. So I had felt bad about people thinking that I was rude to her, because I don't think Abby thought that I was rude to her, because that's just the relationship that the two of us have always had. So yesterday morning, I happened to find out that Abby was listening to the show, and I said, Abby, call in, and I will apologize to you on the air, and we'll just clear up this whole rudeness bit. And she did call in yesterday, and we did talk about it, and basically she said that she never takes anything I say as rude, because that's just the relationship that we have. Actually, what she said yesterday when she called in was, she said that that I'm always rude to her, and she's always nice to me. Now that's a hill of beans. That's the biggest hill of beans I've ever heard, but we just kind of have that thing where we say kind of, I don't want to say rude things to each other, but we just say kind of, you know, off-color things to each other, and nobody ever takes it personally, and nobody ever apologizes, and life goes on. So she called in, and I apologized, and that was all hunky-dory. And then she talked about going to this Post Malone concert on Sunday, apparently down at Nationwide Arena. Now, I was confused about this yesterday. We didn't have much time to talk about it because we ran out of time I think she called in the last 15 minutes of the show. But the thing I was confused about when it came to Post Malone was, number one, why would they be having the concert on a Sunday? You know, usually when you have a concert with a big star, and I'm not saying Post Malone is a big star, because honestly, I've still heard very little about this person, you would not have it on a Sunday afternoon. You would probably have it on a Friday night, or a Saturday night, or sometimes even a Thursday night. But not a Sunday afternoon, because that runs into football and people going to church and things of that nature. So right there, that was a tip-off that this might not be a huge concert. And we did not ask her what the ticket prices were, but I just don't imagine that this is going to be a sellout. Now, I could be wrong, and I told Abby to call us on Monday or early in the week next week to let us know how this concert went, but on the whole, really, I don't think it's going to be a huge success. Now, does anybody have anything to say about that apology that went down yesterday, or the Post Malone concert coming up? I don't know if anybody else from Marion's going to that concert on Sunday at Nationwide Arena. I can't imagine they are, but if you are, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So those are the topics here in hour number one this morning. We've got the $5,000 reward for the Harding dog collar, and the call we got this morning about Mrs. Harding's brooch also being taken that this gentleman would like to get back. The State Street overpass becoming two-way for a temporary period of time. Although I have not read the article in the paper. I just read the headline. Obviously, I'm one of the headline readers this morning. I don't know if it's going to be two-way forever or just a period of time, or how much of the street is two-way. It's all a little confusing at this point. And I don't know how it's signed, because like I said, I have not been over in that neck of the woods since this change took place. What do you make of the change to the fireworks law here in Marion? Marion City now not allowing for fireworks in the city limits. You have to be a trained pyrotechnician, I think is what they call it. And it doesn't matter the date. You cannot let those off. So that is a new rule as of Monday here in Marion. And the apology and the Post Malone concert from yesterday. So all those topics are fair game here this morning. 43 coming up on 44 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you want to talk about any of those things. Now, I tell you something I was going to do here this morning. I told you I did not have Lee's phone number, and I did find Judy Summers' phone number yesterday, but I was going to check the station phone number here and see if possibly their numbers would pop up here. But as near as I can tell so far, we are not having any luck in that department. Let me see here. Well, as we scroll through the numbers here to see if anybody... No, I don't think that was Judy. It'd be nice if Lee was on here. He's one who I really want to get in touch with, because I hope that he and Ted Jolliffe were able to hook up after all of that, after all this time has passed. Well, I tell you, I don't see Judy's number. Ah, there. Well, no, I don't think that's Judy's number. All right. Well, if it pops up here. I did not write, well, I wrote it down yesterday, but I was at the home office, so I do not have it in front of me at this particular point, because we certainly would like to know how Judy's doing. Well, I don't think it's on our caller ID here. So again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, last week, we were doing our trivia. Now, our trivia when I come to the office is a little different than the trivia when I'm outside of the office. This is business slogans. Now, we have not done very well with this. It must be very hard, question-wise. Now, we have had these business slogans out here for a long time. And what we need is for the person answering the question to tell us the business for which the slogan we're mentioning is for. Now, here's the ones we've had. Shave time, shave money. Shave time, shave money. Now, that's been out there for a while now, and we still do not have the answer for that. What business uses the slogan, shave time, shave money? Then we have all for freedom, freedom for all. What business uses the slogan, all for freedom, freedom for all? Then we have living your world, playing ours. What business uses that slogan? Live in your world, play in ours. And then the new one we added last time I was here in the office was belong anywhere. Belong anywhere. What business has that slogan? If you know the answers to any of those, give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The slogans are shave time, shave money, all for freedom, freedom for all, live in your world, play in ours, and belong anywhere. Those are the four slogans we have out there. Does anybody know the businesses? 740-383-9944. Now, I did give some hints the last time we did this. Now, shave time, shave money obviously has to do with a shaving cream. But does anybody know, I guess I should not say a shaving cream. Maybe I should say more of a business that has to do with shaving. Does anybody know what that business would be? Now, all for freedom, freedom for all. Now, that's an interesting business because you see these all the time. You see these in parades. You see these a lot more in spring, summer, and fall than in the winter. They're on the roads all the time. Very popular company. All for freedom, freedom for all. Then the business slogan, live in your world, play in ours. Live in your world, play in ours. Now, that has more to do with a product that is probably used by more men, maybe in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. But kids also like this item. Men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but kids also like this item. Live in your world, play in ours. And the slogan, belong anywhere, has to do with a travel company. A travel company. So those are the clues. 740-383-9944. Business slogans are the category here this morning. 740-383-9944. So we have Belong Anywhere, which is a travel company. We have Shave Time, Shave Money, which has to do, obviously, with shaving, but I'm not going to say it's a shaving cream business. It's more of a business that has to do with grooming, I guess is what I would say. All for freedom, freedom for all. Now, this is probably the most popular company. This is a company, you see these things in parades. You see them on the roads all the time, especially in the spring, summer, and fall here in Ohio. What company do you think that is? And then we have Live in Your World, Play in Ours. Now, this is a company that probably targets young men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but also children. Does anybody know what company uses those slogans? Does anybody want to even venture a guess here on this Getaway Friday, September the 16th, 2022? 9:16:22, 51 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Again, the slogan, shave time, shave money. All for freedom, freedom for all. Live in your world, play in ours, or belong anywhere. Those are the business slogans. We are looking for the businesses for which those are the slogans of. 52 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Did want to remind people of the big Mary Ellen Withrow event coming up. Now, this is important because today is a deadline in this particular event. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. But today is cash. That's a quote from Mary Ellen Withrow. The Marion County Hall of Fame presents the Honorable Mary Ellen Withrow Sunday, October the 2nd at 5 p.m. at All Occasions Catering, which is located at 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo, Ohio. Now, we did talk to Mary Ellen earlier this week, and she told us there would be a dinner that night. This is Mary Ellen's birthday, and she will be inducted into the Marion County Hall of Fame. And also talking to Mary Ellen earlier this week, we found out she is the first living person to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Tickets for this event are $35. Now, this is where it ties into today. Tickets have to be pre-purchased, and sales end today at 4 p.m., Friday, September 16th at 4 p.m. Sales end today, so you've got to get your ticket today for $35. Now, you get your tickets by calling the Marion County Historical Society, located at 169 East Church Street here in Marion. The telephone number is 740-387-4255, and they're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, remember, the big event is that's Mary Ellen's quote. The big event is Mary Ellen Withrow going into the Marion County Hall of Fame, big dinner, and I think there'll be a speech on her birthday, October 2nd at 5 p.m. at All Occasions Catering in Waldo. And also, that will be Mary Ellen Withrow Day here in the city of Marion. As Monday night at the city council meeting, they made the announcement that that date would be Mary Ellen Withrow Day because of her birthday and being put into the Marion County Hall of Fame. So that's a nice event coming up here in Marion on October 2nd. These fall events are getting underway, to be sure. All right, 54 and a half minutes past the hour here. Still interested, does anybody have any thoughts on the change to the fireworks law here in Marion? Now, you can't light off the fireworks, I believe, unless you are a pyrotechnician here in Marion. No matter the date, we have parted with the state rules as of Monday that Governor DeWine signed into law a few months ago. The Harding dog collar situation is still out there, $5,000 reward. We heard from somebody this morning who apparently his mother had one of Florence Harding's brooches, which was stolen about 8 years ago. And he's looking for that, so phone calls are coming in regard to this and the newspaper article. And the State Street overpass becoming two-way. Is this a good or bad idea? Now, this is being done while the Prospect Street overpass is being renovated at this point. All right, looks like we're getting a call here. Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, so my thoughts on that two-way bridge overpass, whatever's going on, thing, it's an accident waiting to happen. My thoughts on Post Malone are he's amazing, and we can't trust you because you didn't even know who John Mellencamp was.
No, I knew. I knew.
My thoughts on the fireworks are I don't want to see someone's house catch fire or someone blow a finger off, so we probably should have some sort of regulations on that. And my thoughts on your apology were that you set the perfect example, so I want to apologize for saying that you were, may or may not be an egotistical maniac.
Well, now, what I want, now, I did know who John Mellencamp was. I just did not know what he sang. Now, with Post Malone, I have no idea.
He's had, like, a million, like, okay, White Iversons, Circles, Congratulations, that one Rockstar, that one where he says he's been popping pills and he feels like a rock star, like...
Maybe this is why he and Abby can relate.
Okay, see, you took something beautiful and then you tarnished it.
No, hold on.
You have an uncanny ability for doing that.
No. But for somebody who is on the road all the time, when it comes to this State Street overpass, have you been down there? Is it well signed?
I've avoided that whole nightmare, thank God. Maybe it's going to go good and I'm just going and borrowing trouble, but it seems like a bad idea to me. I'm not a professional.
Yeah, it just seems, so you don't think, because basically you spurred that apology by saying that I was rude to Abby.
Oh my God, and you wrote people into it because I didn't bring anything up. You said, so what do you think about?
Right, but now that you heard it, so I'm glad you heard it yesterday, did you feel that it was sincere and honest?
And that's y'all's business. I mean, if you guys have that kind of friendship, but don't be like, so Sarah, what did you think about, because I didn't really have an opinion one way or another. You were just trying to rope me into some unnecessary drama.
Well, I don't think Abby and I had, because she wasn't even aware that I had been rude to her until I had brought it up on the air and she was listening. But I just felt that the apology was sincere, but it was hard to track her down because,
How did you feel about my apology?
The one that you just gave?
Yeah, did you think it was sincere?
I'm not even sure it was an apology.
Oh, my God. If I just said sorry, then that constitutes as an apology, Scott.
So, but you're apologizing for the fact that you might have caused unwanted drama? Is that the apology?
No. Just if there was, like, if you took, because you made mention of the comment that I made several times about being an egotistical maniac, and I had to correct you because you said I said egotistical jerk, and I never said that. But all I'm saying is, I just wanted to follow. You set the perfect example, you know. And so I thought I would follow suit and apologize to you for that. Because we've had many years of laughter and friendship, and I don't want to tarnish it.
Oh, no. I like bringing up the egotistical maniac because to me it kind of reminds me of the egotistical jerk comment about, it just sticks. It's one of those.
Donald Trump
or Hillary needs a haircut. It's one of those things that just sticks out in my mind as a good phrase. But what's shocking to me, and I know you're busy and we're busy, we only got 30 seconds here, but that just from that conversation all these years on the air, that you would think from that conversation that I was an egotistical maniac.
I don't even think that. I was just pulling your chain.
But it was interesting because I think deep down you did feel that I was being rude to her, if nothing else.
Oh, my gosh. We're really just talking this thing to death, aren't we, Scott?
Well, that's how you do on radio when you got time to kill. But she's difficult herself, and like I say, it's hard to apologize to her because honestly, her name is like a spinner. You know, you just spin the name to find out what name it is.
You're so silly. I can hardly wait till winter, and then we can go back and forth about the fruitcake.
Oh, the fruitcakes aren't 90 days. What is it? 90 days till Christmas at this point.
Something like that is coming up on us quicker than we think.
It's going to be something, and the fruitcake pizza. Boy, you're going to have to stop and get a piece of that for sure.
I can hardly wait.
All right, thanks, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break. The pastor spot's coming up in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
National interest and the safety of our citizens does have to be involved with other countries, needs to be respected by other countries, needs to respect other countries. And Donald Trump does not have the right temperament, the knowledge, or the capability of being president of the United States. I think I'm just stunned, frankly, that it has gotten this far.
To WCMH Channel 4 anchor Colleen Marshall.
That being said, you've covered many a presidential race in your career. Why do you think he walked away even before the question was finished?
You know, I can't explain that. And, I've actually been thinking about it because other people are asking questions and talking about it. And, of course, Trump supporters are very angry that I even brought up the racism question. But